Man, that was excellent. All right, well, we're in 2 Peter again tonight. I want to jump right into my message, but before I do, I got to say this. I was sitting over here as Brother Collars was giving his presentation, and I was just sitting here thinking, what a privilege, honestly. And I don't say that to, I don't even know Brother Collars, but I know men of God, and I'm sure that he is like, it's not me. It's the Lord, but I just think it's a privilege to be in the presence of God's servants. Spent a life or a good part of a life in Taiwan, preaching the gospel, reaching people, and I just think it's a wonderful thing. I was thinking about the huge responsibility, Pastor. I'm sitting up here thinking, I'm getting ready to preach to a man that's been on the mission field for 20-some years, Brother N. Bowden over here, pastor for many years. Other men, our pastor, and other men in the building that's pastored, and I'm just sitting here thinking, God, help me. I feel like Peter, when he began to sink, he was looking around, he saw the wind, and he saw the waves, and he said, Lord, save me. That's how I felt sitting up here tonight, and I mean that. I'm not just saying it. God, help me, because I want to preach his word, and I want to be a help to people. Pastor Brandon preached to our teenagers Wednesday night, and he was talking about the difference between impressing and impacting. And I honestly have no desire tonight to impress anyone, but I sure pray that God would help me and use me to impact someone. And so I want to try to preach to you tonight out of 2 Peter chapter number 2. I'm not going to spend time in chapter number 1. We've been looking at that for a couple weeks now. And basically, if I were to sum up chapter number 1, I would say this. I started out my series of messages talking about there's some things that we need to know. That's what the book of 2 Peter, I believe, is about. I believe Peter is writing to these believers, and the theme of this book, though there's many different teachings, I believe the theme of this book is Peter saying there's some things you need to know. And I believe chapter number 1 in a whole, Peter was saying there's some things you need to know about your faith. And he starts out talking about the faith that these people have. And he starts in verse number 1. I said I wasn't going to recap, but here I go. It's going to help me. If it don't help you, it's going to help me, okay? Verse number 1, y'all just bear with me for a minute. It's going to help me get into my message. Peter said this, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So Peter begins off writing, and he's talking to these people about their faith. He says, there's some things you need to know about your faith. And we talked about those. He said, you need to know who you are. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget how that you're saved, where God found you, and what he's done in your life. Don't forget what you have. In verses 2 through 4, Peter talks about those things, that divine power that he's given unto us, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And he talks about those exceeding great and precious promises and that divine nature. He says, don't forget who you are. Don't forget what you have. Don't forget what you need to do. In verses 5 through verse number 7, he's talking about these things that we need to add to our lives, these things that we need to add to our faith. That's what he's talking about. Look at verse 5. And beside this, right, besides what you got, besides your faith, look at it, verse 8. He says, beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith. Peter said, you got faith. And there's some things you need to add to your faith. And so he said, don't forget, know who you are, know what you have, know what you need to do. And then the last week we talked about know why you need to do it. And I believe verses 9 or verses 8 through the end of the chapter, Peter's talking about why we need to do it. He says, because of the results, because of the risk, because of the reward. And then last week we talked about, Peter said, because it's real, because what you have is real. I hope you remember the message last week. If you were not here, we looked at verses 14, 15, down through the end of the chapter, and Peter told him, he said in verse number 15, he said, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Look at it, verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter said, I want you, don't forget why you need to do these things. He said, because what we've got, Peter said, is real. He said, I saw it with my own eyes. I had a personal testimony, right, of what Jesus did. Peter said, I saw it. I was with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. I was with him out there on the sea when he walked on the water. I was with him when he raised the dead. I was with him when he done his miracles. I was a personal testimony of what he's done. But he said, even greater than that, look at verse number 19. He says, but we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Peter said, yes, I have a personal testimony of how real this faith that we have is. He said, but I got something better than that, and we've got something better than that, and this world's got something better than that, and it's a prophetic truth. You could say this, it's a powerful truth, right? The word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a perfect truth. God's word is perfect. It's pure. It's a preserved truth, right? And Peter said, hey, we've got something better than a personal testimony. We've got the truth. And Pastor, God has to quote those scriptures tonight. Why? Because it's the truth. It's what we have. It's what the people in Taiwan have. It's what the people around the world have. And those that don't have it, they need it. They need the truth. And Peter said, we've got it. We've got what's real. And so I believe chapter number one is about our faith. Peter says, there's some things you need to know about your faith. Your faith is real. And then he goes on into chapter number two. And really, we know that the Bible has chapter divisions, but you know, this thought is still running. It's all one running thought most of the time. And I believe from chapter 1 to chapter 2, Peter's still carrying that same thought. And look at chapter number 2. So chapter number 1 ends, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, right? He's talking about the word of God. And then verse number 1, he says, But he says we're still talking about what we were talking about, but I want to elaborate on that. And so chapter number 1, Peter's talking about knowing something about our faith. I believe in chapter number 2, Peter wants us to know something about false teachers. Or Peter wants us to know something about false teaching. Peter wants us to know something about fake Christians, right? Look at it, verse number 1. He says, but there were false prophets also among the people. When? Back when these holy men of God were speaking, when these holy men of God were being moved by the Holy Ghost, he said, when they were doing their work, there was false prophets then. We could go through the Old Testament and we could name some of those false prophets. I probably, as Pastor asked us to stand and quote Scripture, I probably could ask some to stand tonight and quote some Old Testament false prophets, and you could give me some, because there were many, and Peter said that. He said, there were false prophets also among the people. And look at this. He says, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Peter said, now we've talked about the real thing. We've talked about the real faith. Now I want to talk about the false. Pastor said this many times, and many of you probably heard it said, you know, they say if you want to know a counterfeit, you got to study the real thing. I believe Peter knew that. So he started out in chapter number 1, and he said, let me give you the real thing. Let me explain to you what's real. Let me explain to you what we've got. Let me explain to you our faith, our precious faith. He said, but now, since we've talked about the real thing, now I want to talk to you about the false thing, about the fake thing. And he begins to talk about false teachers. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to start talking about some things we need to know about false teachers. Some things that we need to know about false teachers. Man, I don't want to be too specific here. I want to give you what the Bible says, and then you decide for yourself. I will say this: not everybody that doesn't believe the way we believe is a false teacher. I think we got to be careful sometimes of, you know, just because somebody's not like us, labeling them as, oh, they're a false teacher, they're a heretic, right? Not everybody that doesn't believe the way that we believe is a false teacher. But can I tell you, there are many false teachers. Not everybody is not a false teacher. So there's a balance here, like all things in the Christian life. Some people are so far over here, they think everybody that doesn't cross their T's, I'm going to say cross their I's, right? Cross their T's. You do cross a capital I twice. But everybody that cross their T's and dot their I's the same way that they do is a false teacher. There's churches that are independent, Bible-believing, fundamental Baptist churches that would say we're false teachers. Because we don't do it the same way they do it. We don't worship the same way they worship. We may not act the way that they act. We may not look the way that they look. And so they would classify us as false teachers. So there's one ditch you can get in where everybody's a false teacher. I've been in that ditch. Maybe you haven't, but I have. I don't want to be in that ditch. But then there's the other ditch. And if you're not careful, what'll happen is you grow up in this ditch, or you get too far over into this ditch. Next thing you know, you'll swerve the vehicle, and you end up in the other ditch where nobody's a false teacher. Everything's okay. Oh, they're Christian. Oh, they believe. Oh, they preach the truth, and that's just not so. And so we need to know some things about false teachers. And so I want to try to give you some things that Peter gives us about false teachers, some things we need to know about false teachers. Because I tell you, there are false teachers. There are, God's word said, Peter said, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. He said, there's going to be some false teachers among you, in the church, amongst Christianity. Right? Jesus said it. Jesus said Matthew 13, 24 through 33, when he gave the parable of the wheat and the tares. You remember that? Jesus talking about the devil's always got a counterfeit for what God's got. The devil's always got a counterfeit. Wherever God's working, whatever God's doing, the devil's always behind the scenes trying to do his work, trying to plant his seeds. And Jesus said, hey, where there's wheat, you mark it down. There's some tares. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 24, verse 24, he said, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Jesus said, there's going to be false teachers. There's going to be false prophets. Paul said in Acts chapter number 20, verse number 29, he said, for I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves, are you listening? He said, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. He said, therefore watch and remember. Paul said, there's going to be some grievous wolves. There's going to be some false teachers. There's going to be some false prophets that are going to rise up among you. Paul said it again under the inspiration of God. He talked about it again in Romans chapter number 16. I believe Pastor will probably get to those verses of Scripture at some point in studying in Romans. In Romans chapter 16, Paul said, mark them, right, that cause divisions. He said, avoid them that teach things contrary to what you've learned. Paul said, you better be careful. You better be careful. Not everything that sounds good is good. Not everything, what's I was saying, not everything that shines sparkles, I don't know what you know what I'm talking about, right? I don't know how that saying goes, but hey, you got to be careful. Just because it looks good doesn't mean it's always good. Just because it sounds good doesn't mean it's always good. This goes on and on through the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, really the whole chapter. Verse number 13, he said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 1 John chapter number 2, verses 18 through 27. 2 John 7 through 11. Jude verses 3 through 16. Over and over and over again through the Bible. They're just some. The Bible says you need to be on guard against false teaching. Why is false teaching and false teachers so important? Because I can tell you, hey, what we believe affects how we behave. You cannot separate the two. What we believe affects our behavior. And so what we believe is very important. We've got to believe right. We've got to know what's right, because if we don't know what's right, we're not going to act right. And so the Bible over and over warns and teaches against false teachers and false Christians. And Peter is giving a warning to these people about false teachers. And so I want to give this to you tonight. Number one, the first thing I see here is the danger of false teachers. Peter said there's a danger in false teachers, right? He says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. There's a danger in false teachers. We've got to be real careful because there's a danger in them. One of the dangers is there's a multitude of them. They're multitude. You see that in verse number one? Look at what he said. He said, there shall be false teachers, right? That's plural. That means more than one, right? Peter said, hey, be careful. There's a danger because there's going to be some false teachers. And it ain't just going to be a few. There's going to be a multitude. He said, there's going to be a multitude of them. Verse number two, look at it. He says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways.
I don't think those many are just following one false teacher. No, I think it's because there's many false teachers. Peter said there's plural false teachers. He said, so the danger of false teachers, you need to be on guard against false teachers because there is a multitude of them. I am so tempted tonight. I mean, I prayed and I said, God, do you want me to start naming some? I'm serious because I'm not above it. The only reason that I don't think I'm going to name too many tonight is because I believe there's some false teachers out there that are so dangerous that if I were to begin to mention their name, some of our young people or some Christian in this church may go to YouTube or to TikTok or to Twitter or to Facebook and look them up and begin to listen to their false teaching. And as we read in 2 Peter chapter number 2, they're real good at what they do. And so I got to be careful about naming them, because if I name them, you might go look them up. But I'm just telling you this, there's a lot of them out there. There's false teachers everywhere in our society today. Now, they've always been. He said there was false prophets when they were, those holy men of old were there, but there's false prophets all through time, and there's false teachers today. But I believe as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, this know also that perilous times shall come. He's talking about those last days. He said it's going to get worse and worse. He said there's going to come a time where they're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. He said there's going to be a lot of deception. There's going to be a lot of false teaching. There's going to be a lot of false prophets. And can I tell you, I really believe that we're living in that day. We got to be careful. We can't just click on any old link we see on YouTube. Are you listening? I'm serious. Just because it says Pastor so-and-so doesn't mean it's okay to listen to. There's a lot. It's dangerous. There's a multitude of false teachers out there, many of them. But if you read down through chapter number 2, you know what words you're going to find over and over? Them, they, these. You read it when you get home. Read 2 Peter chapter 2 over and over and over again. Peter says them, they, these. He says there's a multitude of them. They're everywhere. You got to be careful, right? And so, number one, the danger of them, there's a multitude. Number two, their message, their multitude, the amount of them is dangerous. But can I tell you, their message is dangerous. Look at what he says about their message. He says, there even as there shall be false teachers among you, look at it, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. That don't sound good. Even denying the Lord that bought them. You say, Brother David, are they saved? I don't believe they're saved. There's no way you can read this entire chapter, in my opinion, and come to the conclusion that he's talking about saved people. Can I tell you that Jesus paid the price for all? You say, well, it says that bought them. Yeah, he bought them. He bought everyone. Jesus paid the eternal price of redemption for all men. And so, yeah, they were bought just like you and I were bought. But just because they were bought don't mean they got redeemed, right? Don't mean that they cashed in on that purchase. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid it all, right? For all of mankind. And so, but I don't believe these men are saved, but their message is dangerous. It says that they come in, bring in damnable heresies. You say, what is heresies? I looked up that word. It's very interesting. It basically means a self-willed choice. That's what the word heresy means. It means a self-willed choice. They teach whatever they want to. That's what Peter's saying. He's saying there's going to be false teachers that are going to come in. And you know what they're going to teach? Whatever they want to. They're going to teach whatever they want to. They don't care about what God's Word says. They don't care about what the Bible says. No, they're just going to teach whatever they want to. Not only are they going to teach heresy, he said, but they're going to teach damnable heresy. I'm talking about false doctrine. It's one thing to teach a heresy. There's some heresies out there. Can I tell you, they're not damnable. I personally believe, should I get off on what I believe? I probably shouldn't get off on what I believe. Yeah, I'll just stay away from what I believe. There's some heresy out there, okay? Listen to me. There's some people out there that believe all kinds of wild stuff, but you're not going to go to hell because of it. They may not believe it's okay for men to have a beard. I believe it is. I don't know how they can come to that conclusion. Jesus had one. But there's people that literally believe that. They believe facial hair is a sin. Can I tell you, that's heresy, but it's not damnable. But there is some heresy that is damnable. It will take people to hell. And Peter said, you better be careful, because there's false teachers out there, and they'll come in among you. They'll rise up among you. There's grievous wolves, Paul said. And you know what they'll do? They'll start preaching damnable heresy. They'll deny the Lord that bought them. They'll start preaching that salvation comes through something besides Jesus. I tell you, it gets difficult for me, Pastor. There's some people that I highly respect and some people that I care deeply about. But can I tell you, if salvation is anything outside of Jesus Christ, it's heresy.
Right.
It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, we're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not plus nothing, minus nothing. And anything that says that you got to get to heaven any other way than Jesus is heresy. It's heresy. We've got to guard against that because it's everywhere. And so Peter says, hey, there's danger. The multitude, not only that, their message. Look at verse number 19. I got to say this. Look at their message in verse number 19. Verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity. Peter said, you know, when they speak, they speak this big talk, but it's all vanity. It's empty. He said, when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. Look at verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought into bondage. You see, they're promising them liberty. They said, you don't have to live that way to believe God. That's their message. Right? That's that false teacher's message. You don't have to really follow the Bible. That Bible's got you bound up. It's got you living in bondage. You can have liberty. You can be set free. Peter said they're liars. They're going to have you bound up to your flesh, to your sin. He said, but you got to watch them. They're sneaky, right? I'll get into that here in a minute. So he says their message, the danger is the multitude. The danger is their message. Hey, can I tell you, their message is built on lies. False teachers' message is built upon lies. It's not built upon the Word of God. And so number one, we see the danger of it. Number two, we see the deception of false teachers. Peter goes to great lengths in describing these false teachers. He speaks of the description of false teachers. Isn't it sad when you can't read your own handwriting? It's terrible, isn't it? How many of you have a problem reading your own handwriting? Okay, I'm not alone. Thank God. Y'all just encouraged me, right? Happy birthday, Miss Jenny. Miss Jenny turned 39 today. Praise God. I meant to say something about that. It's her birthday today. I told her she's almost at 40. Getting ready to top the hill, right? So as you see the description of false teachers, we see the danger of false teachers. Now I want to see the description of false teachers. Peter gives us a description of them. First, he talks about their methods. Look at verse number 1. He says, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Look at it. Who privily or privily, right? That we get our word privately, shall bring in damnable heresies, right? That's their method. They're sneaky. Let me say this. Anytime someone wants to discuss something doctrinal in private, watch out. Are you listening? Somebody wants to talk to you about something doctrinal. Now, if it's something personal, they want to talk to you and they need some help or they need you to pray with them, that's one thing. But when somebody says, you know, Pastor's message or Brother David was preaching, you know, I don't know, man. I'd like to talk to you in private about that. Be careful. Better watch out. That's the way false teachers are. God help me not to be that way. I'm serious. As I was studying this passage, I was thinking to myself, if God ever leads me to believe something contrary to what this man right here preaches, I promise you I'm not going to come tell you about it. I'm going to tell him. I mean that. God help me. I don't want to be a false teacher. I don't want to do anything privately. If you really believe it, you shouldn't have to do it privately. You shouldn't be. Anytime somebody comes to you and they're trying to be private about it, don't tell such and such. There's a reason. There's a reason. If you really believe something, you won't have a problem saying it. Right? And if you don't believe it, then maybe you ought to go talk to somebody and find out what you believe. And so these false teachers, that's not what they're going to do. They're going to come in privately. They're going to come in. They're going to be sneaky about it. That's what the devil does. He's just that way. Subtle. Sneaky. Always trying to work behind the scenes. Paul talked about that in Galatians. He said there were those that come in privately and tried to spy out our liberty in Christ. You remember that Galatians chapter 2, I believe it's verse number 4. Paul said there were those that were not really Christians that came in privately and they were trying to spy out our liberty in Christ, those Judaizers. You see, that's the way that false teachers work. They come in privately, they come in sneakily, they try to get in and work their way around and spread their lies. Verse number 3, he said this. He said, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. That word feigned, it means plastic. Right? It's not something that's strong. It's something that's plastic. Something you can bend. They'll come to you with some words that can be bent. Some feigned words. Some words that are not concrete. Some words that are not strong. Some words that are not stable. Right? And he said, they'll come to you with feigned words. In verse number 18, I already read to you, great swelling words of vanity. Got to watch them. That's their method. They're sneaky. I'm telling you, they're out there. I know this ain't an exciting message. I knew when I was preparing it, I thought, man, I'm not going to get many amens. And I'm okay with that. I'm serious. People's probably going to be struggling. But I'm going to tell you what, we need to know this. That's right. We really do need to know this. I need to know this. I'm glad God led me to this passage of Scripture because you know what? I'm all over the internet. I'm reading all kinds of stuff. I'm watching all kinds of preaching. I'm listening to all kinds of podcasts. I'm reading all kinds of commentaries. And you know what? I need to remember that there's false teachers out there. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to try to bring in damnable heresies. And they're going to try to destroy the faith because wherever there's something real, the devil's always got a counterfeit. And we're living in a day where there's deception everywhere. There's false teachers on the rise. And they've got a platform now. You know what? They used to have to sneak into your church. Now they sneak into your screen. They sneak into your home. They sneak into your earbuds. They sneak into your life in many different forms, in many different fashions. They used to have to walk into an independent Bible-believing Baptist church where there's a preacher there guarding the flock. And they'd have to sit down and try to sneak their way in. But they don't have to do that no more. Now all they've got to do is get you to click on their website, get you to watch their YouTube, get you to listen to their message, get you to read their material. Are you listening to me? There's false teachers out there. And Peter said, you better be on guard. Remember 1 Peter chapter 1, he was comforting those Christians. 2 Peter, he's cautioning those Christians. He's saying, you better watch out. Peter said, I'm getting ready to get out of here. I'm getting ready to pass off the scene. I'm getting ready to move on, and what I've told you is the real thing, and you better watch out because there's a lot of fake stuff out there. I'm trying to move on. I hope you're listening to me tonight. I mean it. I want to help somebody tonight. The next time you click on that link, the next time you read that material, you just remember there's false teachers out there. They're everywhere. Next time you get in that conversation at work, you say, but they're a Christian, brother. They go to church. Yeah, they might. They might be a Christian. They might be whales without water. They might be clouds that are carried about. Look at verse 17. They were whales without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. You better be careful. They may not be what they say they are. He gives a description of them, their methods. Number two, he gives their marks. Look at verse number two. He says, many shall follow their pernicious ways. Verse number 10, he says, presumptuous are they. Look at verse number 10. He says, but chief of them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they. Look at it, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. They don't care about authority. Those false teachers, they don't listen to nobody. There's one that comes to my mind right now just as clear as day. There's a preacher that used to preach in churches just like ours. I've listened to him at youth conferences, and can I tell you, he's full of pride. He's self-willed. He's presumptuous. He doesn't care about any authority. He doesn't have a problem speaking evil of dignities. He is in my estimation, he fits this description. I'll go ahead and say it. Greg Locke fits this description. Okay? I'm just being real. And if I'm wrong, God help me. I'll answer to it when I get to heaven. But he's got a platform on social media, and he says a lot of stuff that people like and a lot of stuff that people wow over. He's got that wow factor. He's got that shock factor. I've watched some of his stuff. He's an elegant speaker. He speaks swelling words of vanity. But can I tell you, he's self-willed. He's presumptuous. He's full of pride. I hope you understand that. Now, if you don't know who he is, don't go home and look him up. Okay? I said I wasn't going to name no people, but I just feel like I need to name that one. I'm serious. God laid that on my heart because that man's got a platform, and he used to be an independent Baptist, and I'm not saying he's lost. I don't know his condition before the Lord, but I know this. He's teaching some false doctrine, and we got to watch. They're everywhere. Man, I just start naming names. I can name a couple more. I'm just going to move on, right? So description, right? Descriptions, right? Their methods, their marks, their verse number 13, it says in verse number 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, right? They that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Oh, man. Verse 14, look at this. Having eyes full of adultery. Can I tell you, there is more and more preachers out there that think it's okay to commit adultery. I mean, there are so many preachers out there. There are so many preachers that people are listening to in our society today on the internet and different forms that have been in numerous adulterous relationships. And Peter said, you better be careful because their eyes are full of adultery, right? Look at verse number 14. He said, they're having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices. He said that their marks is they're known by their pride and by their sinful lifestyle. Look at verse number 2. He said, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You know how much harm these people are doing to the cause of Christ? These adulterous preachers, these sinful pastors. And we're all sinners. I'm not saying this in a prideful way. Every man of God out there is a sinner, but I'm talking about those that are known for their sin. Am I okay here? Y'all looking at me like I might need to shut this thing down and say amen. I'm just trying to tell you there's false teachers out there. I'm serious. I'm not here I'm just trying to warn tonight, right? Peter was warning, and I'm trying to warn, and maybe I'm a little bit over my time. Maybe I need to stop, but I'm telling you, we need to know about these false teachers. We need to know their methods. We need to know their marks. We need to know their motives. Why do they do what they do? He said through covetousness. Look at verse 3. He said, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Why do they do it? For money. For money. You mark it down. Somewhere there's money involved. And I know our church talks about money. We want to build a building across the road. It's going to take $7-8 million. But can I tell you, hey, there's preachers out there that are riding around in $7-8 million airplanes. I'm serious. Living in multiple mansions on God's people, charlatans, hirelings, right? They're making merchandise of God's people. You mark it down. There's always money involved. Peter said, you watch them because they'll come in and they'll preach false doctrine and they'll do it because they're covetous. They want money. They want power. They want attention. They want those clicks. They want you to view their videos. They want you to like their posts. They want money. That's what it's all about. Peter said, you better watch them. They'll make merchandise. If you look at verse 14, he said, having eyes full of adultery, it cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Peter keeps on saying, these men are covetousness. They're ate up with covetousness. They just want more and more and more. Verse 15 talks about who love the wages of unrighteousness. He compares them to Balaam and says, who love the wages of unrighteousness, the reward of unrighteousness. They love that reward. They love those wages. That's their motive. You say, well, we pay our pastor. We do pay our pastor. Can I tell you, I've been at this church long enough to remember when our pastor wasn't even taking a salary. I remember that, Brother John. I remember when he gave up his salary. You know why? Because he ain't preaching for money. And we ought to take care of God's man. But I can tell you right now, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I thank God for what church does for me. Church helps me so that I can be involved in the ministry part-time, and I'm able to come up and preach chapel, and I'm able to go make visits with pastor. But I mean this from the bottom of my heart. If the church took that money from me tomorrow, it wouldn't change a thing that I do. Because I'm not doing it for money. And the day I start doing it for money, I hope God takes me away from it. But there's men out there, that's all they're doing it for is money, fame, attention, likes, clicks, views. That's what they're doing it for. Got to be careful. I'm talking about the marks. I said I wasn't going to name them. You name them. You name them. When you see them, you name them. You know their methods now. You know their marks. You know their motives. You know why they're doing what they do. Look at it and see what they are. But you can always tell them by their fruit. That's what the Bible teaches. You can tell a tree by its fruit, right? And so he says the dangers. He says the description. I'm going to go ahead and finish these two real quickly. He says the disciples of false teachers. Look at verse number 2. I already mentioned it. He says many shall follow them. Many. It's very, very, very sad, but these false teachers have disciples. Verse 14 says, beguiling unstable souls. I said this about the disciples of the false teachers. You know what? They're mistaken. They're mistaken. That saddens me. There's false teachers out there, and you know what they do? They take advantage of unstable souls. Isn't it 2 Peter? Is it 2 Peter chapter 3 where he talks about going into the houses and the women and 2 Timothy, what did I say? 2 Peter, I did. 2 Timothy, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 talks about those that are going in and you know, trying to teach the women, right? Thank you. Yeah. Leading, I don't want to say that. I'm not going to say that out loud. Silly women captive, right? That's what the Bible says. God said it and he said it. I didn't say it, right? But hey, can I tell you, that's the way that false teachers are. They go in and they try to find unstable souls. They try to find some old saint that may not know the Bible real good, but loves God and has a little bit of money. You know what they'll try to do? Get it. Send us some money. We'll send you a prayer cloth. I don't want your prayer cloth. Who knows? You might have wiped your sweaty head with it. Don't send me your prayer cloth, right? But that's what they're doing. They're beguiling. And there's people, good people, that are mistaken, and they're following these. They sound good. They got great swelling words of vanity, and they're mistaken, and they're misguided, and they're misdirected, and they're misled, and that ought to bother us. Peter said there's going to be many that are going to follow them. So we see the disciples of the false teachers, and then last, and I'm done, we see the destiny or the destruction of false teachers. It's very obvious from this chapter that God is serious about those that would lead his children astray. We got to be real careful. Now, I'm not saying any of us are false teachers, but can I tell you this? We've got to be real careful about leading God's people astray because God's serious about it. God is very serious about how he's going to deal with these false teachers. Can I tell you, their destruction, their destiny is going to be miserable. It's going to be miserable. Look at verse number 1. He said, there's false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves, look at it, swift destruction. Verse 3 says, and whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. God says, I am going to deal with those false teachers. And can I tell you, their destruction, it's going to be miserable. God says it's a damnation that slumbereth not. Verse number 9, he says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Verse number 12 talks about that they have perished, right? It says, and shall not utterly perish in their own corruption. Verse number 17 says, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Do you see the language that God is using here? Destruction, damnation, darkness. God says, I'm going to deal with those false teachers. God says, I am going to deal with them. I don't want to be a false teacher. Don't you try to be a false teacher. Be careful about false teaching. And I tell you, you say, well, they're getting away with it for now. God's going to deal with them. God is going to deal with them. Their destiny, their destruction, it's miserable. Can I tell you, it's monumental. Look at verses 4 through 9. I won't read them right now, but God gives some examples that are pretty monumental examples. Talks about the angels that sinned. He talks about the flood, the antediluvian age. He talks about Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. God says those are some monumental destructions there. There's some monumental things, that people that I dealt with. And can I tell you, he says it's going to be monumental when I deal with these people. And I'm going to deal with them. He said it's going to be miserable. It's going to be monumental. And can I tell you, he said it's going to be merited. Look at verse number 13 and I'll close. He said they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. God says they're going to get what they deserve. That's strong language. That's strong language. We're talking about a merciful God. We're talking about a God that doesn't give us normally what we deserve. He gives us mercy. But God says there's coming a day where those that are false teaching, those false prophets, those false teachers, those that will come in and try to stir up division and teach false doctrine in my church, amongst my children, with my people, he says, their destruction, it's going to be miserable. It's going to be monumental. He said, but it's going to be merited. They're going to get what they deserve. Peter says, hey, there's some things you need to know about false teachers. I hope this was a help to somebody tonight. Watch out. Watch out. They're out there everywhere, okay? And if Greg Locke is your favorite preacher, please don't come to me afterwards mad at me and, you know, leave the church over it, okay? I think he's pretty charismatic and a little comical at times, but I think he's got a lot of false teaching. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would bless it. I pray that you would use it, God, in a day, God, where there's so much false doctrine, so much false teaching, so many false teachers out there, so many avenues and so many ways in which people can get their message across. God, I pray that you would help us as your people to be guarded against that. God, help us, Lord, to know their marks, to know their methods, God. Help us, Lord, to see their motive. And God, help us not to be deceived by their teaching. Lord, protect your people, God. I thank you for a pastor that protects this flock and preaches your Bible and guards the flock of God. Thank you for how you've protected this church from false teachers. And God, I pray you continue to do it as we go into the future. God, I pray that you would continue to guard this church against false doctrine and false teaching. And God, what you do, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may stand to your feet. I'm going to have the pianist come.